Hello, Common Shapes listeners. Cody here, just popping in to tell you that starting April 2nd, the next season of Flexible Office begins. So if you have been dreaming of a digital accountability space, an experimental co-working portal, Flexible Office is the place for you. We're in our third year of Flexible Office. So for many of you, it's a coming back. And for some of you, it's your first time. We kick off on April 2nd with a visioning and goal setting session. And then we meet every Tuesday and Thursday for 2 hours through May 30th. We start at 8 a.m. PST or 11 a.m. EST. And it's a space to fold your laundry, do your taxes, call your congresspeople. Write a novel, write a self-help book, make a zine, update your website, anything you dream of, right? There's no wrong task at Flexible Office. So head to the show notes to grab the link or check out codycookparrott.com to find all the details about Flexible Office. Enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to Common Shapes, a podcast about practices, systems, and rituals for a creative life. You are listening to episode 4, Art as Service. I'm your host, Marley Grace. I'm a writer, I'm a dancer, I'm a teacher, I'm the host of this podcast, and I am an artist who loves to be of service to my readers, to my students, and to my listeners. And I feel that I am of service, whether I am providing something extremely abstract, like the essay in my weekly newsletter, or something really direct, like in this podcast, where I am serving artists in a way that helps them to navigate their career and income and passions in a more easeful and abundant way. So if you're already like, Mar, my art is not of service, I just knit scarves. Okay, those keep people warm. Like anything you throw at me, I will be able to tell you that it is of service. And part of that is because the world needs art. The world needs art on walls, on the backs of couches, in our living rooms, in our kitchens, in our phone screens, on our computers, in museums, in art galleries, at the farmers market, in libraries. The world needs art. And when we see art or feel art or hear art or use any one of our senses to experience art, we are better. That's a fact. I'm a scientist. I'm the doctor of art. I have made the rules, and we are better when we consume art. Now, when I say the word art, I mean it kind of like how I mean the word God, where it's like throughout this episode, I want you to replace art with the thing that you do. Oh my God, that thing you do. That thing you do is of service. I love that film so, so much. Okay, so that thing you do is of service and makes the world a better place just by existing. So even if it's like abstract shapes, right, in a wall hanging or something, I'm thinking a lot about like the fine artists who are listening to this podcast who might be like, Is my art of service? I mean, it's shapes in a painting on a wall, or paintings of nature, or drawings, illustrations. It's like, yes, y'all. I'm hearing way too many of you lately be like, I don't know. Maybe it needs to be like more radical or more, have more of a statement, right? And first of all, yeah. Maybe it does. Maybe we play with that. Maybe we play with what are our core values and how do we bring them into the work. But I also think that we need a little more acceptance around the thing just existing, right? It's like the song that you sing doesn't have to be like, damn the man, I'm anti-capitalist, for the song to be an act of service. The song itself might be a love song, but that brings people closer to their own relationship with love and their own understanding of relationships. And we talked about this a little bit in episode 3, but we can think about how the offerings that we're shaping and putting into the world can redistribute attention, resources, and money from their generation of income. Okay, so this podcast episode goes with the Creative Ideation Portal. So the first 4 episodes of Common Shapes are its own little teaching portal that brings you through the free guide, which you can get at marleygrace.space/commonshapes. Now, if you are like, I don't really like downloading things like that, and I feel just like I'd like to be a listener of the podcast, that's absolutely stunning. And you don't need to have that. It's just for those of you who want to dig a little bit deeper or sort of like having them together, it sort of almost makes like a mini class. So the Creative Ideation Portal, the last part of that guide is art as service. So that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to dig into. And I invite you to put your hat of abundance on and to release feelings of scarcity and to just flow with me on the river of service. So the service of the project, right? So at this point, working through the Creative Ideation Portal, you've maybe picked a project. If you haven't worked through it, no worries. Think of something that you're working on or working through, right? Maybe it's a book, an album, a zine, a class, demos, whatever it is that you're coming up with right now. And so I want you to think about it or write about it in 4 sections, which is, who is this for? Marketing as a creative practice, the work in the world, and a spell for hitting send. So I offer those sort of 4 containers within service, and we'll go over each one as sort of a roadmap to figuring out some more about the why behind why we're doing it, right? And I find that when we get to that why, when we get to that reason that we are devoted to our art making and to the services that we provide, whether you are a therapist or a writer, right? Many of you might not identify as artists. So again, I want you to definitely replace art with any creative practice or any of the projects that you're wanting to ideate through this process. So the first part, who is this for? I would almost break this part down into 3 parts, because this is for you. It's for the people who will receive it, and it is for whoever you might decide to redistribute funds towards, right? So let's say I'm writing a book and it's about attention, right? So my hope is that it is for other artists and creative people who are wanting to reclaim their own attention. It's also going to serve me and my practice naturally researching and thinking about attention and my art practice and how it relates is going to serve my own creative attention. And then thirdly, who is it for? I might choose to do a book signing at a bookstore and 50% of all of the profits from the book could go to a local mutual aid organization that protects trans rights. Okay? Something like that, right? As a non-binary person, I'm going to be thinking about what's important to me, to my queer community, to my trans community and family who are getting surgeries or having hormone replacement, right? Like, how do I protect those bodies and those people? Well, I can draw attention and I can redistribute funds. And I obviously just said 50%, like for an event like that, something like an event or a one-off thing. Sometimes it's nice to turn the dial up on how much we're redistributing. But then with my newsletter, I mentioned this last episode, every month I redistribute a portion and that fluctuates every month depending on my own income, my own costs, but it's usually somewhere between 3 and 10%, right? So I'm almost always aiming to hit 5 10 is really abundant months, and 3 might be a month where I have some of my own stretching that's happening. But just bringing my readers' attention to these different organizations, it's so beautiful to then watch some of them share it in their own newsletters or on social media or organize raffles or fundraisers, right? That's a big part of my own practice is I love the history of and the current practice of raffling quilts and art as an act of service. So maybe that's even the project that you're working on is something to raffle or to organize in terms of like directly redistributing money. So who is this for? And in the portal, it brings you through some more exercises if you want to be journaling and setting timers. So go check that out if you want to dig in a little bit more to that. So I'm also sometimes really picturing like the person reading the book or a specific friend even, right? I often am really writing, thinking about my friends in mind. I have maybe like 10 to 15 friends that I think about as like, oh, I know they usually read my newsletter or like my books or listen to my podcast. So I might even just think, oh, I wonder if my friend will read this book or like this book, right? So be thinking about who is it for, but also in that second part of it's for you, we don't want to overthink the audience, right? So when we're thinking about these projects and visioning them, we're not getting too many steps ahead, right? We are open to the outcome. We don't know exactly how this work is going to land when it is released. That's future tripping, right? So we want to stay in the moment, in the creative practice when we're making things and not overly thinking about like, I might think about who is this for, but I'm not thinking about how many people is it for. And it's okay to have goals, right? You might have goals of how many people subscribe to your newsletter or how many people buy your next book, whatever it is. I don't think that those are bad goals to have, but how do we sort of hold them gently? So the next part of our art as service or our creative practices as service, our creative offerings, the offerings that we're making in the world, maybe you are working with animals or working in nature, something that I feel are both examples of things that are really creative but might not be art, is thinking about marketing as a creative practice. So last episode, we dug in to newsletters. Obviously, that's my favorite channel for creative marketing. But of course, there's also podcasts and newsletters and social media and postcards, brochures. I love thinking about, you know, like wheat pasting something on the side of an abandoned building somewhere. There are so many ways to get the message out. And when I say message, I mean sort of two things. The work itself. So let's say it's a book, and then the message that you might be pulling or extracting from the book. So something you will not hear me talk about on this podcast is the word content or content marketing. I think that there's a lot of good information from other podcasts and thinkers about that word or using that word, but I specifically choose not to use that language for my own practice because I want to just keep making art. And for promotional purposes like marketing and marketing as a creative practice, I might pull quotes or ideas from the projects I make and share them as marketing. I don't consider that content, right? So I wouldn't call this podcast content. I would call this a creative project that I have where I share my voice. I don't call the posts I put on Instagram content. I call them newsletter excerpts. So I don't identify as a content creator. I identify as an artist who makes things that exist in a digital realm. So I wanted to just be clear about that. And it's also like, you know, I don't identify as an influencer because I don't exchange money for social media posts. I also have a lot of friends and people in my creative community who are both influencers and content creators. And good for them. I definitely buy the things they suggest sometimes, right? I don't have any feelings like those are not worthy endeavors. I just want to be a little bit clear about the language that I've been using the last few episodes and the language that I'll use moving forward. So if you're used to someone using the word content and that is helpful to you to think about it that way, by all means, I think we're pretty much talking about the same thing. I'm just using language that's maybe more in sort of like an art and craft world than sort of our small business content marketing world. So that's just a little moment of differentiation. Okay, so when we're thinking about those two parts, right, the book and then the message from the book, let's say you have a quote in your book that's really beautiful that you feel like is a great part of the creative marketing plan, is maybe you want to make a postcard that comes out with the book that the quote is on the front, or maybe you want to wheat paste the quote onto something or a fence by where you live or a yard sign or something that the sentence can go on, right? So where can a sentence go? It can go in a newsletter. You could do an excerpt of the book in your newsletter, right? So the newsletter is also a shape of the offering, but it's also a channel for creative marketing. So in some of these, we see like this podcast, for instance, is a place for me to talk about my other projects, but it's also an offering in and of itself where I'm sharing about how I do things. So we're sort of like seeing how the different pots and containers are all relating to each other, this map. So when I teach my class, The Shapes of Our Offerings, which I will say I'm teaching in this fall, that's sort of all about how are we building these business and creative ecosystems. We draw a map that sort of looks at all those different parts. And then how do we pull messaging and themes and different things out of them to talk about the project itself. So as you're thinking about making a newsletter, I also suggest, you know, writing out the themes that you're devoted to that you maybe want to talk about that come from the project. Of course, also, especially in the Creative Ideation Portal, you're also encouraged to put projects like a house project or a garden that maybe aren't income generating that you don't necessarily need to like think about drafting a newsletter for. Yeah, it kind of comes back to the book written by yours truly, How to Not Always Be Working, where we're thinking about what are the gray areas and what do I really want to protect and not bring into marketing and not bring into my job. So that also sort of ties back to last episode of like, do I monetize my newsletter or not, right? It's really, really important to have things that are creative and part of your practice that are not your main income generator so that you can have a little more ease in when you take a break. So think about the project and then think about all of the like tendrils that come out of the project. That could be the themes, the quotes, the ideas, a chapter that you love. And then where else can those things live that aren't just the book? Maybe it's a 2-hour class. Maybe you want to teach a 2-hour class that goes with the book, right? So this is sort of how we're thinking about creative marketing, is also the offerings and how the offerings speak to each other. It might feel like a lot, but believe me, all the things sort of tie into each other. I'm moving my hands around in a way that you can't see, but I'm tying things together in the air. So the next step is the work in the world, which as I've listened back to the first few episodes of this podcast, I was laughing at how many times I say putting your work in the world. It's clearly the thing I must believe in the most is please, for God's sake, put your work into the world. There are too many people who are not doing that out of fear that they are going to fail. Here's the good news. You are going to fail. Sam Slupski just wrote a newsletter that I think was literally just called I Love to Fail. So definitely check out their newsletter. But it just reminded me of like, we are so afraid to fail on our own or in front of other people. All I can tell you is I have failed many times and I keep making things still. And failing or making a mistake can look a lot of different ways, but I trust you that you have or are building the tools to handle failure at a personal and a public level. I think you can do it. I really, really do. I don't think it's going to break you. I don't think it's going to tear you down. And I really think that having released publicly, that having publicly released multiple books, online classes, podcasts, residencies, public spaces, marriages, partnerships, divorces, you know, the amount of things I've put into the world in the last 10 plus years is wild. And a lot of them have ended or pivoted or shifted, right? So we're putting our work into the world knowing that it could change, that it doesn't have to stay the way that it is forever, right? Shape shifters. Wow, maybe that's what the listeners of Common Shapes are called. Shapeshifters. We are shapeshifters. We are listeners of Common Shapes, and we are shifting abundantly when it is time. When it is time seasonally or energetically or emotionally, we are open to changing. So this is another part of inviting in the why yet again. When we're picturing our work not just existing in our head, but existing out there, we might picture a book tour or doing a reading somewhere, doing a book tour in people's living rooms, right? Maybe you're self-publishing a book and you just want to set up a really cute little tour of the Midwest and interview your favorite writers in each city, and you redistribute 3% of all the ticket sales, and you make a mini audio podcast about the tour because you record each interview. Are you seeing how I'm tying all the strings together? It's like, and then you make a cool Instagram post with a quote from one of your favorite writers who you're going to interview, right? That's visioning the work in the world. It's not just like, and then I put the work in the world. It's like, we're seeing it. We're closing our eyes and we're seeing the way that it exists in people's homes, in people's lives, right? I'm thinking again about seeing someone read my book or driving and listening to the podcast. So take some time to vision. What is it like, especially if you're still feeling blocked, like, I don't know, or you're making something that's sort of more in the abstract world, like picture someone standing in front of your painting or your quilt or your weaving and just like how their body becomes overwhelmed with inspiration, right? It makes them want to go and make their work. That's art as service. Right? Whether you're doing something creative in your home, right? Those hobbies that aren't necessarily income generating. My hope is that when someone walks into my purple bathroom, that exciting color and feeling of serenity that the purple gives them makes them want to knit or draw or make their own podcast or do something creative in their own life, right? So this is where the work in the world, it just being in the world, it's automatically of service, whether or not it is directly tied to a radical action. It is radical to be creative and do creative acts. So we're at this point in the creative ideation journey where we have visioned our many, many projects. We've whittled it down to just a few to think about. We've moved the needle forward and invited in our spiritual committee. We have started our email newsletter or something similar to speak the words of our work out to the people who might benefit. And now we are ready to hit send. We're ready to hit send on that email to the editor with the first draft of our novel. We are ready to hit send on the Instagram post that tells everyone about your poetry reading next week. We're ready to hit send on the newsletter. We're ready to hit send on the text. We're ready to hit send on whatever it is. We're ready to show ourselves, right? This is really about being seen and not hiding. Also, as someone who is a hermit who lives in the forest with their dog alone, I am all about hiding away and deep, long seasons of solitude and not being constantly public facing. And the pace of marketing and the pace of sharing is what we'll talk about coming up in future episodes of Common Shapes. But for now, I want you to just start practicing. Start practicing hitting send. Start practicing showing yourself and showing your readers and your audience and your friends and your community who you are. Because who you are is so special and so beautiful and so magnificent and so worthy of being seen. Even you don't have to be seen, but may your paintings and your drawings and your books and your podcasts and your online classes and your one-on-one services and your body work and your therapy and all of the things that all the listeners of Common Shapes are making, may it be seen, may the work be seen, and may it be of great benefit and great service to those who need it. And that's where we start playing God. Like, that's where imposter syndrome and taking back our will is sort of saying, yeah, God, thanks so much for the messages about what I should be working on right now, but I'm actually feeling kind of bad about myself. So no, thank you. And again, you know, I'm not a therapist. I know that we're digging out much deeper things when we're talking about some of this, right? We're coming in as listeners with a lot of trauma, a lot of different triggers, a lot of different things that block our creative process, right? It's like, is it imposter syndrome or is it structural racism? Is it imposter syndrome or is it transphobia? Is it imposter syndrome or is it the patriarchy? Is it capitalism? You know, it's like, are we not believing in ourselves because of ourselves or because the world is so often against us? So, with that being said, may you be protected and surrounded by a community of other freaks and weirdos and queers and people, artists, writers, thinkers who are cheering you on. May you find cheerleaders. That's something that Julia Cameron talks a lot about in The Artist's Way, is finding cheerleaders and mirrors who reflect back to you your goodness and your magic. So I hope that I can do that for you today, dear listener. And I hope that you can find people in your real life who are cheering you on, right? Even if you're sending a newsletter out to 10 people, may those 10 people be so blessed. Don't worry about your audience size. Worry about serving the audience that you have. And I imagine it's at least a couple people. So just focus on them, focus on yourself, focus on what you need to be of service and be resourced, right? Always put your oxygen mask on first. We know that's rule number one. So light a candle, pick a theme from your project and write about it. That's another part of thinking about the service, is like, maybe there's a theme in your book that's about devotion, and you want to just write about your experience with that. New threads might come from that. Oh, maybe I want to teach a class about devotion. Maybe I want to make a PDF about devotion that I give to readers for free when they sign up for my newsletter. See, the ecosystem and the threads continue to weave together. This is fun. Making art is fun. I said that, and then I was like, it's so hard. It's so hard, and I sit here before you, humble, in my own creative practice. The book I've been desperately trying to fine-tune its proposal has been in that fine-tuned state for almost 2 years. My last two book proposals, I think, took 2 months, right? So these timelines, we are generous with ourselves. We are generous with ourselves as we figure out, what are these timelines? What makes sense to me? what makes sense to my readers, my listeners, whatever it is, the people who consume my work. And now we take a deep breath. We thank our spirit team, our people team. We thank ourselves and we hit send. So this is an example of hitting send on maybe those first few things that happen at the beginning of the project. Maybe this is the first draft of the novel. Maybe this is the first coat of paint in the bathroom. This could be just a newsletter that you send on any given day. It's something that's a little bit smaller, but it's the same formula. I just want you to maybe pad it a little bit bigger if it's like a big project. So for instance, the day that I released this podcast to the people and told people about it on social media, I knew that I was really going to want to take care of myself that day because I was going to maybe have some of my stuff come up, some of my imposter syndrome. Is this cool enough? Will enough people see it? Is anyone going to listen? You know, just sort of the bigger questions of, I want this to be successful. And that's where I return to, this is of service no matter how many people it reaches. That's really, really important to me. Something I'm sure I'll dig into at some point on this podcast is my second book sold a lot less copies than my first book. But I have to trust it was of service to the people who needed it, and How to Not Always Be Working is just a little bit more accessible as a book. It's like a tiny pink gift book, whereas Getting to Center is a little more poetic prose art freak, right? I think something like that, right? So it's like, it wasn't as sellable of an object, and that's okay. It can then get me a little bit in the squirrel cage about my next book of like, how do I kind of marry those two things together? But that's not bad. It's not bad to think, will this thing sell? But that's the dance that we do here on Common Shapes, is this dance of like, do I love it? Do I want to make it? Is it going to earn enough money to support me? That's sort of the question we might be asking ourselves. So you might want to take some time to write a mantra or affirmation about why your work is important to have in the world. That's another part of this work, I think, is to really think about why is it important. And one hint I will give you is that it is important because you are important. And then the next many episodes of Common Shapes will continue to support you in your journey now that you've released the goodness of your creative spirit. And I will invite some of my greatest friends and collaborators onto the show to talk about their projects and their process of making money and sharing about their work and thinking about their art and their hobbies and their passions and how they all thread together. In the next couple episodes, we'll talk about our core values. We'll talk about the pace of marketing and releasing things. We'll talk about why we make art and how we make art and how to take breaks and how to move forward faster, right? I think so many of us get stuck and we need a little bit of momentum. So I'm so grateful that you've tuned into these first four episodes of Common Shapes. They all go together with the Creative Ideation Portal, which you can grab at marleygrace.space/commonshapes. If you could subscribe and share this with a friend, I would love it. I'm so grateful to everyone who makes this podcast possible. Lucasa Brampman-Verissimo, who makes our podcast art. Saltbreaker, who makes our music, and Softer Sounds Studio, who edits this podcast. Thank you so much for being a listener of Common Shapes.